Okay, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Now, look, you get in an accident, you want the best. Doesn't matter what it is, car, boat, motorcycle, maybe you drive an 18-wheeler, maybe you work construction. You need the best in representation. The best in representation is the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, it's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. 713-CALL-NOW. By the way, bilingual. So if you call the Daspit Law Firm, you're going to get lawyers and a staff under John Daspit that are going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. By the way, they are bringing soccer on the airwaves to you. Here's part two with Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. Yeah, no question. Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. No better guy to be talking about. Spain winning the World Cup 1-0 over England. Olga Carmona would get the goal. Carmona was named the final MVP. Amazingly, she found out after the match. I mean, this was just so sad that her father had passed. I want to go to Las 15, and there was an element of controversy around this. You had 15 players that cited poor treatment, tactics, training in October, wrote the federation. There were problems with Jorge Vilda, the coach. That's who they targeted. I mean, is this simply proof that you can win in spite of a coach and a federation that doesn't back you?
It is, because as I was saying before, it's a remarkable story because of the players. There have always been complaints by the players against the national team coach. The former national team coach, Ignacio Quereda, who was coaching Spain until the 2015 World Cup, was also heavily criticized by players as a manager that was stuck in the past in training methods and in understanding what was women's football, what a women's dressing room needed. And there were similar sayings about Jorge Vilda. And in October, when these 15 very important Spanish players, I would say 15 of the top Spanish players, publish their statement about what was happening in the Spanish national team, it emerged that, for example, Jorge Vilda wanted to discipline them very heavily, and he forced them to leave the doors of their rooms during concentrations with the national team open until midnight, so he could check what they were doing, the players were doing in their rooms until midnight, because he wasn't sure they were doing what was needed before a professional football game. And of course, that created discomfort among the players. But apart from that, this makes titles, because it's a story that's shocking. Mm-hmm. But the core of all that was the methods. I must say, I've spoken to several journalists that cover the Spanish national team, and they say, hey, Jordi, there are still many players that have gone to the World Cup that reverted their decision not to go to the World Cup. And they are still saying off the record that Vilda's methods are not up to date, are not good. There's a picture that has gone viral in Spain these days. Quarterfinal of this World Cup against the Netherlands, cooling break. The Dutch players go to the substitutes area, and there they hear their coach, their manager, Andries Jonker, giving them instructions for the last 15 or 20 minutes of play. The Spanish players were on the center of the pitch, talking, of course, in group, but talking one another without Jorge Vilda, giving themselves the solutions needed to win that game. That's that feature that has gone viral. I think it has a lot of meaning about what was happening. But the players created a kind of bonding, a kind of family, a kind of group feeling. They felt they could show the world that they had power, because of course, once the World Cup has finished, we have to see this. This will be very interesting. What will happen in Barcelona's dressing room? Because the same dressing room will be shared by players like Mapi León, like Patrick Guijarro, like Claudia Pina, that finally refused to go to the World Cup, and players that reverted their decision, like Aitana Bonmatí, for example, went to the World Cup and won. What will happen? Because all these players, the 15, as they have been named, fought for better rights, better salaries, better conditions for women's football. They fought against the Spanish FA, but there was this split among them. Some of them reverted, went to the World Cup, won, and won lots of money. Before the final, I think it was 28,000 euros per player as a prize for reaching
270,000 per player in dollars.
Imagine.
It's good money. That's going to be life-changing for a lot of these women's players.
Probably. But what happens with these three girls, for example, the three Barcelona ones and the other ones that didn't go to the World Cup, like Amaiur Sarriegi, for example, that are that have fought for their fellows, for these other players? They were together. They are not together anymore. It's a very difficult situation. And I wouldn't like to be Barcelona manager Jonathan Giraldez, because this dressing room situation right now can be explosive.
But how do we know it's going to be explosive? Maybe everybody's just in an agreement that, look, everybody got to make their own decision about what was the best way to go. They made a statement by coming together. They got tremendous publicity. It cited the federation. They went and won it now, which that's got to move the federation now, Jordy, right? I mean, they've got to invest more now. They can't hold back. They just won the World Cup.
Yeah, we all agree about this. But the thing is, once the World Cup has started, all these group of players, the ones that were there and the ones that weren't there, have they stayed publicly and have they done it enough that they were fighting again together? I mean, of course there was this split, but I think that what you were saying should be correct. If during the World Cup, the players that were playing for Spain in the World Cup had said, we are here, but we still are, and we still remember what our colleagues did before this. We are with MAPI, we stick with MAPI, we stick with Patri, and this World Cup is also theirs. And I don't think they have done this with the force and the power required to avoid misunderstandings after the World Cup.
That's a really good and a really fair point that you're making. If you know, they reference them during the World Cup or after when they win it, I agree with you. I think that's important to consider.
Yeah, of course they spoke about being a group, creating a family. They spoke about the players. You didn't hear players, Spanish players in mixed zone, in press conferences, praising Jorge Vilda more than you can expect this PR world in which we are all involved in which, of course, players know what to say in front of a microphone. They were only talking about what they as players were doing during the World Cup. But at the same time, they were not talking about all the process. And we have to think, as you were saying, the process that has brought Spain to win the Women's World Cup against all odds, and that should boost the Spanish FA's support to the women's football, is a merit or has credit thanks to the fight of all this group of players, not the ones that have played the World Cup, but also the ones that haven't, and past players, of course. This has been said in television during the World Cup broadcast. Many former Spanish national team players were had as color commentators or analysts, and every game was the same. Hey, we must remember MAPI, we must remember Patri, but the players we're not talking about this.
Well, this is a really interesting parallel to what's going on in the United States. You just won the World Cup of Spain. The entire world is looking at your country. These women have power now. based on what they did on the field and what they showed, not only their own country, but the rest of the world. So you have to think that the investment is going to have to come from the federation. I don't think there's any question, because you've got the sentiment of an entire country behind you now. Now, conversely, what you do with this now as a group and as a federation, everybody should be a little bit more unified now and understand the incredible opportunity that's hand. Conversely, the U.S. 2.5 years ago decided to make soccer secondary. They forgot all their core values that were set by the legendary players like Mia Hamm, Christine Lilly, on and on we go, right? Abby Wambach, all them. Those core values always got passed through. Well, it was lost in this World Cup, and everybody saw it, and even opposing teams, they saw an air of arrogance. They saw an air of entitlement from the women's national team, generally from a couple of players, and it really hurt the country. Now, we're also in a place of real opportunity now to cleanse the house and get back to making football the priority. So I think it's amazing parallel between Spain and the U.S. in differing ways.
Yeah, but it's also a different situation, because there was, in the U.S., there was a clear and complete and solid structure of women's football, and the work done in the U.S.
Yeah, but Jordy, you got to remember, because of the emergence of countries like Spain, it doesn't look as structured anymore. We don't have the best playing against the best at the youth level. We don't have a Barcelona or a Real Madrid. We're scattered. Right. We don't have our best youth players playing against each other, because there's so many differing leagues and so much money that changes hands in the youth game.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to do an entire rethink of this now based on the success of the Spains and the other countries around the world.
I totally agree with you, but it seems as I was hearing, it's a matter of a change or a string of decisions that have to be changed in the next years.
Leadership. But leadership don't at the federation.
How could I say that? The thing is, as I was saying at the beginning, this has been Spain winning the World Cup has been the perfect storm. Why? Because you have this base of technical quality of players, because that's a trademark of Spanish football. But apart from any structure, you see a street game, boys, girls playing in parks. They have this spark. They have this quality. So it doesn't depend on any decision by any federation, any association, even any club. You see how this World Cup has gone. Spain hasn't played the United States. Spain played against Japan. They lost 4-0. So they had a good series of games. They didn't play against some of the strongest rivals on paper in the World Cup. So I'm not saying this has been luck. It hasn't been luck, of course. But many Spanish successes in sport, and I think this is one of them, are more thanks to a spark of individual quality, a particular area in the country in which a particular sport is well considered, well worked. That happens in this area of the country. That happens in Catalonia, because many Spanish national teams minority sports like field hockey or water polo or roller hockey, the clear majority of players of the Spanish national team are Catalan, because there's a strong sporting association tradition in Catalan civil culture. There are many associations, clubs that play amateur sport, and that gives a tremendous base for then professional sport. But this is only an area of the country. In many other sports, in many other areas, there is a lack of a national structure and solid structure. Then the decisions taken there can be correct or can't be incorrect, but there's a lack of it. So it has happened during the years. And I'm afraid that with the Spanish women's national team, it could be the same. There's a great opportunity. I agree with you. But let's see what happens, because as I was saying, the Spanish FA didn't believe at all in women's football until this has happened. What has happened in the World Cup exploded in front of their eyes. What will happen next? In a normal situation, it's what we are saying. There should be an increase in sponsorship, in media attention, in everything. Will this all happen? Let me tell you, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure, believe me, because I know the story and I know what's been happening in this country for many years.
Interesting that you say that, because this is a watershed moment. And if, you know, these types of events are the ones that you can catapult off and really take a deeper dive on the sport and who it affects and where it goes and how you invest in player development because you won a World Cup. So it's interesting that you say that, Jordy. And look, as always, we thank you very much for coming on the show. We'll get to some Barcelona talk and La Liga talk the next time we get you on the show. But I want to thank you very much. You know, just from the standpoint of celebrations and everything, what are they doing in Spain with the national team? Because I think they just arrived home, right?
They are arriving home on Monday evening Spanish time. And they are going at this. We have a tremendous heat wave these days here in Spain, 40 degrees Celsius in many parts of the country. So people are living during the night because it's fresher than in the than in the afternoon or early evening. So they are arriving this late evening, I think around 10 or 11 p.m. Spanish time. But then they go directly to a party that's being prepared in Madrid, and I think it will last until the wee small hours of the next morning. So they will celebrate for sure in Madrid,
well,
of course.
Great moment for Spain and the Spanish women's national team. Fantastic, a lot of storylines around it, and let's hope that it's the impetus for the federation to do more for women's football in Spain. Jordy, as always, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate your insight.
Let's hope so. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Jordy Sunyer, TV3. That wraps it up here tonight. On Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW. Remember, subscribe to the podcast at Spotify, Apple, Google. Those are the places to go. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. And until next Thursday, we go back to our Thursday time. I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, Soccer Matters.